Greetings and salutations. My name is T.C. Weber. Some of you may know me as the author of the blog Dad Gone Wild, but I'm also a public school parent and the spouse of an educator. I decided to try my hand at creating a podcast. It'll give me a chance to expand the blog out a little bit. As always, I'll be covering issues in education on local, state, and federal levels, all through the lens of a public school parent. We'll see how this all works out, but it should be fun, and I look forward to your feedback. To start things off, it's a new session for Tennessee state legislators. And as usual, there are a whole lot of educational issues on the table. I'm just going to touch on some of them right now, but we'll get more in depth as time goes on. Once again, as a shock to no one, vouchers are on the table. In case you're not familiar with the concept, vouchers are state government-issued coupons that allow families to redeem them to pay tuition for a school other than the one they are zoned for. On paper, it sounds like a good idea, but in reality, there is little evidence that supports them having a meaningful impact on student learning outcomes, and they rob local districts of much-needed resources. At any rate, it's kind of ridiculous to bring them up this year, since President Trump has indicated that they are a major plank in his education plan. That means there's a likelihood that federal money will be available next year for their implementation. So, riddle me this. Why would you pass a bill this year and place Tennessee taxpayer money on the table when you can just wait till next year and maybe have some federal money to play with? Legislation has failed to pass for the last 4 years, so what's the rush? What difference would one more year make in order for us to get a clear picture of the fiscal note? A new state accountability system that assigns schools a letter grade from A through F is planned next school year based on this year's test scores. This type of oversimplistic rating system only reinforces a myopic obsession with test scores to fuel the failing school narrative. Several school systems are already taking issue with this new law passed last year. Collierville, Williamson County, Ripley, Knox County schools. We'll be keeping an eye on this because I bet some changes are coming down the pike. House Finance Chair Charles Sargent and Governor Bill Haslam will each be putting forth legislation that aims to increase school funding. A close look at these proposals will be coming soon. I got the feeling the devil's going to be in the details on this one. Comptroller Justin P. Wilson did unveil a BEP calculator recently that's now available online to anyone, saying that it's in the best interest of all Tennesseans that the BEP be verifiable, transparent, and understandable. I say true dat. Representative Dave Hawk also filed a bill that would stop the Achievement School District from starting new charter schools rather than just overhauling existing schools that are struggling. The legislation would also curb the ASD from unilaterally taking over schools. Local districts would get more time and resources before they could be taken over. That seems like a good idea since the ASD is currently closing some schools and making very little progress with others. Representative Mark Pody and Senator Mae Beavers are sponsoring legislation that state public schools shall require that a student use student restroom and locker room facilities that are assigned for use by persons of the same sex as the sex indicated on the student's original birth certificate. Not quite sure why we're going here again, but here we are. Then there's my personal favorite. Knoxville Rep. Bill Dunn has proposed legislation to repeal the law passed last year requiring set amounts of recess time for kids. He argues that the law is making the school day too restrictive, that teachers are not able to get everything in. As I wrote in a recent blog post, the problem isn't with the recess requirement. It's with the unreasonable demands that we place on our teachers. We set these standards mandates without ever looking into what is required to meet them. And once again, we're going to ask our neediest kids to make the sacrifice. You see, the mandatory playtime is perhaps the only physical activity some of these students will get. Their parents work multiple jobs, and they often live in unsafe neighborhoods without any access to play facilities. So when they get home, they're confined to the house, therefore failing to get the required daily physical activity. Dunn is also the sponsor on one of the voucher bills. He seems to have a great desire to help underprivileged kids, but very little desire to actually interact with them. Not a good combination. There are a few other bills lurking around out there, and I'll try to shed light on those as they come up. I do want to remind you that it is very important to stay in contact with your state reps. Let them know your opinion by email, or better yet, calling. Don't be afraid to just show up as well. I spent a day last week on the Hill, and it afforded me the opportunity to chat with quite a few reps. Don't be intimidated. If you can get to the Hill, please do. Also, make sure you check out the TREE website. That's Tennesseans Reclaiming Educational Excellence. It's filled with lots of good news and timely announcements about the upcoming session. So stay with TREE and they'll help you get ready for the legislative sessions and send out some call to actions. On a local level, new superintendent John Joseph's transition team released its recommendations to great fanfare. A lot of praise was heaped on them for their work, but truthfully, I found very little that wasn't fluff or hadn't been covered in previous reports. For example of the fluff, the number one, ready for this? The number one recommendation under the subheading of diversity, drum roll please, reaffirm the district's commitment to diversity. That was the number one recommendation. Now, this isn't a criticism per se of the task force, as MNPS has had Annenberg, Mass Insight, and Tribal all conduct in-depth studies over the past 5 years. At some point, studying has to give way to implementing. There was one big recommendation generating a lot of conversation, and that is returning fifth graders back to elementary schools. Talk to just about any educator, and they will tell you that it's a fantastic idea. Most parents like it as well. The only drawback is one of physical space. Many of our elementary schools are at or above capacity. The only way that this move would be feasible is through the increased use of portables or by doing some reconfiguring of either pathways or zones, which might or might not involve closing of some schools. Again, this one will be a while. Other changes coming to MNPS that we'll be keeping our eye on are the academic coaches position and big changes to the Encore program. In regard to coaches, apparently each school will now have a district literacy teacher development specialist. Say that three times fast, as compared to the current literacy and math coaches. All current coaches have been informed that they will have to reapply for the new position. The district is committed to getting the best of the best. Candidates will be submitted to a three-phase application process. They must be highly effective on their most recent evaluation, show evidence of instructional leadership, have experience in presenting and modeling exemplary teaching behaviors and practices to adult learners, a minimum 5 years teaching experience. Candidates must also submit a video and letters of recommendation. The district must fill 159 of these positions. Compensation is reportedly the same as a teacher. Now, this is an ambitious project to say the least, and I can't help but wonder if the district will be able to meet this challenge by the start of the class this coming August. I do find it ironic that these literacy teacher development specialists will be more qualified than the recently hired Prince George Transplant Executive Director of Professional Development, Dr. Tamika Tasby. As noted in a recent Dad Gone Wild blog, Tasby has no classroom experience, no experience involving instructional practice, and therefore, before joining MNPS, she worked in graduation programs and was a Broad resident in urban education. It's nice to know that the district will now have 159 people more qualified in professional development than the executive director of professional development. Changes are also coming to MNPS's Encore program. Encore is the name of the district's gifted program. Preliminary plans call for this program to be placed in the hands of individual schools, with curriculum being developed in collaboration between the principal, the classroom teacher, and the advanced academic specialist. The specialist position will replace the current Encore teacher position. Once again, all current Encore teachers will have to reapply for the position of advanced academic specialist, with no guarantee that they will be placed in a pool. I must say, on a personal level, this gives me some trepidation because my kids have received excellent instruction over the past couple of years from Ms. Koch, and I would hate that she were no longer involved. But just my selfishness. In the good news department, each school will be guaranteed 2.5 days of a specialist time, and each specialist will only have 2 schools. Now, that's definitely an improvement. I'm also hearing that the district will pay for gifted certification for teachers selected to be specialists. Previously, the teacher shouldered that cost, and so that's big news. Right now, I've got too many questions to dive too deeply into this, but I do plan on attending the next task force meeting, which is scheduled on the 21st of February at 5:45 to 7:30 at Robertson Academy. I look forward to seeing more of the plan being revealed, and I'll record what I learn. Or, if you're a parent and you would like to come, come on down. That brings our first episode to a close. I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to the many teachers and administrators who serve our children every day. I welcome all comments and feedbacks. If there's something you'd like me to look into, please let me know. You can either chime in at the Dad Gone Wild Facebook page or email me directly at norinrad10@me.com. That's norinrad10@me.com. See you next time.